You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Dave. If you're new here, I'm one of the pastors here. And we're doing this series called By My Spirit, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what your experience has been like with the Holy Spirit, but we just got done talking about that the Holy Spirit is an actual person. It's an actual being that we actually engage, right? And now we're moving into what the Holy Spirit actually does. And I don't know what your experience has been with the Holy Spirit. My experience was I had an interesting onboarding to what the Holy Spirit does. I really had no idea growing up who the Holy Spirit was, even though I was a pastor's kid, which you're like, wow, that's pretty bad. Your parents must be really awful. But it's just, we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit much. We talked about it as part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and they would say the Holy Ghost. They didn't say the Spirit, they said the Holy Ghost, which is always a little confusing for me because ghosts were scary to me as a kid. And so the Holy Ghost idea freaked me out a little bit, but we didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. I once tried to explain the Holy Spirit. I went to a Christian college, and I remember sitting in a Bible class, and the professor was very, very intimidating. And everyone loved him, and he was brilliant. And he said, we're going to talk about the Trinity. Does anyone like to explain the Trinity? And if you've been around the Bible much, the Trinity is really hard to explain. But I was like, I got this. I'm a pastor's kid. I got this. I can explain the Trinity easy. Raised my hand, and I'm like, you know, it's like an egg, right? You got the yolk, the white part, and the shell. It's three, but it's a one, you know, kind of deal. And I'm like, that was my explanation of the Holy Spirit, is that the shell of the egg was the Holy Spirit, and like Father God was the yolk, and Jesus was the white part. And he like shredded my analogy, like shredded it in front of the whole class. I like never raised my hand again in the class, if I even went. I was just like, you know what, I'm done. But that was like, that's all I knew. I was like, oh, it's part of the Trinity. The egg worked for me for a while. But eventually, I actually learned that the Spirit was a person and that you can actually engage the Holy Spirit somehow. And the way that I learned that actually was what feels like not that long ago. I walked into a Vineyard small group. And I remember sitting in the small group, and we got to a point, you know, I had a little teaching, and then they said, we're going to pray. And I'm like, all right, okay, we're going to pray. And so there's maybe 10 or 12 of us around. And so I assume the position, you know, you fold your hands, you bow your head, and you're no one's saying anything, right? No one's saying anything. They're all just sitting there. What feels like for hours of agony, of silence. And I'm looking around the room going, why? First of all, I shouldn't be looking around the room, right? Immediately, my eyes should be closed, but I can't help it. I'm looking around the room because no one's saying anything. And then there's this silence, and I feel like they don't know how to pray. Like, I got to pray. We just got to say something. So I say some, you know, strange Dear Heavenly Father formal prayer, and they're super gracious people, and they just let me pray and do my thing. And then I end, and there's still some silence. And then eventually, a few people say some things out loud, just really short, sweet. They talked like normal, too. Like, it wasn't like they used these and thous and my Heavenly Father. They talked like I'm talking to you now. And it was interesting for me. And then a few of them would share, like, a word or a picture that sort of popped in their head. And like, does this mean anything to anybody in the room? And a few people are like, yeah, actually, like, that's something that I've experienced in the past, or like, that word actually came to me today, and I didn't know what that was about, and I was like, what is going on? And then they would sort of break up into smaller groups and pray for one another. And it was fascinating to me. I'm like, I've never experienced prayer like that. Like, it was so different. And eventually, you know, I just started, they were super gracious people that I didn't totally understand what they were doing, but they were willing to say, hey, just come over here, like, and we're going to pray, and this is how we do it. We're listening to the Holy Spirit and seeing what he has to say. And then we enter in, and we engage, and we pray, and I got to just hang out with them and learn what was going on and see things. And then I started to realize that the Holy Spirit actually, if we pay attention, will teach and engage us. And this is how it was sort of done. And so they talked a lot about different things like getting words or pictures and things like that, or like intersecting thoughts. You ever have one of those? Intersecting thoughts? It's those thoughts that come out of left field that you're like, I have no idea where this came from. I am thinking about work and all the things I have to do, and then all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, comes this thought. And for me, like, I remember one of my first ones that I sort of had, I think it was around the first one. I'm getting old, so it's tough to say. But the one that sticks out to me the most is I was driving. And I'm driving in my car, and I got music blaring, I'm singing away. And there's a friend of mine, that just his name just comes out of nowhere. Nowhere. Matt. Boom. And I'm like, whoa, that's weird. Now, normally, I would never pay attention to that. Never pay attention. I would keep going singing, thinking about what I'm doing and stuff like that. And I did. And again, just out of nowhere, this Matt came to mind. It just pops in my head. And I'm like, this is really weird. I wonder if this is the Holy Spirit engaging me and teaching me to respond to his prompting. And so I called Matt. And I'm like, hey, Matt, I'm just driving in my car, just checking in. I haven't talked to him for a long time, all right? I haven't talked to him for a long time. And I'm like, just checking in. It sounds crazy, but, like, I feel like God prompted me somehow to call you. Like, I feel like, you know, I explained what happened. I was driving. You popped in my head, and I felt like I should call you. He's like, you know, I'm having a really hard day. I'm having a really hard day, and I was actually thinking about calling you, but I didn't want to. I was nervous about it. I'm so glad you called. And we got to chat for a little bit. And he was just having a really hard time in life with his job and what he wanted to do, and was just really struggling about growing up. He's sort of in the in-between stage of I'm no longer a college student. I'm entering into the, like, workforce and that in-between of growing up and trying to figure life out. And,
he likes scrambled eggs.
Okay. And so he was trying to figure that out, and I was able to engage him and then set up a time so we could actually talk and have coffee together and things like that. But it was this intersecting thought. It was that moment that God, the Holy Spirit, actually steps in and engages if we allow him to teach us and engage us. See, I think the Spirit teaches us in ways and actions of Jesus. And it's when we step in and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and engage us, he totally transforms us. He totally transforms us. In the Bible, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2. I actually want to break that down a little bit for us today. Starts with this, 1 Corinthians 2. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. He's basically saying, I'm just a normal dude. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified our Lord of glory. However, as it is written, and this is a little portion that's from Isaiah, it says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. He's revealed to us by his Spirit. He's teaching us by his Spirit to have eyes to see and ears to hear. The Spirit searches all things, it continues, even the deep things of God. So the Spirit searches. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. So the things of God, the ways of Jesus, are revealed through the Holy Spirit, through Spirit-taught words. There's sort of a Spirit language, a way of communicating that we're going to sort of unpack as we keep going in this series, I think. But the Spirit uses words, uses pictures, uses lyrics, uses thoughts, those thoughts out of left field, right? Sometimes things are highlighted for you. Your body reacts to the Spirit. Sometimes you get hot, or there's a pain, or you shake, or your hands get tingly, or get hot, or get oily. Like, the Spirit is constantly communicating with us and trying to engage and teach us and point us to the ways of Jesus. Point us to the ways of Jesus. Finally, in verse 14, it says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only from the Spirit. We have to be in tune to what the Spirit's doing, and we have to start thinking about that on a regular basis. How many of you have ever... this is going to be an interesting little survey. How many of you know who John Wimber is? Raise your hand. John Wimber. All right, so we got like majority of the room does. That's cool. All right. So John, for those of you who don't know who John Wimber is, it's okay. John Wimber is the founder of the Vineyard Church. He's the one who's he and a bunch of folks in California in the 70s started the Vineyard Church. And so he was sort of the first sort of pastor of the Vineyard Church. And what I want to do today is we're going to show a video. So he's actually doing half the sermon today. I was going to say, you know, I wimped out and gave 10 minutes to him. But the truth is, like, I couldn't cut it. Like, it's good. But it is a little dated, all right? So, I mean... it looks like it's in the 80s, all right? So just so you know. But he talks about how God, the Holy Spirit, moved in the church really for the first time. And how the Holy Spirit taught him to pay attention and to listen. And when he did that, what happened? So we're going to watch that, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to kind of finish it up. Is that cool? All right. So if you direct your attention to the screens.
The first time that the Lord Jesus Christ sent his spirit in power among us, I was fit to be tied for days. I was so angry. I was so upset. I wanted to get out of the ministry. I said, no way am I going to put up with it. Well, that's absurd what God did. Of course, I wasn't absolutely sure it was God. But even after I was convinced it was God, I had difficulty with it. And I want you to know that. When God began moving among us, and not, this particular night, we were having a church service, and in fact, that Sunday afternoon, I was coming out of the church service. It was Mother's Day, of all days, Mother's Day. If you think you'd be safe in church on Mother's Day, I'm walking out of the church, and God says to me, tell that young man to preach tonight. Well, I'm not in the habit of just telling any old young man to preach in my church. And I said, and particularly that young man, because I had heard he was a little strange. And I said, Lord, you want me to have him preach? And the Lord said very clearly to me, yes. So I went up to him and I said, Lonnie, would you like to preach tonight at my church? He said, oh, yeah, I've been waiting for the chance. I thought, oh, no. I'm telling you, I died 1,000 deaths all afternoon. All afternoon, I agonized. I said, oh, God, you got me into it again. You got me into a mess. He's going to mess my church up. And the Lord said, when did it become your church? I said, oh, that's right, that's right. Okay. So I went to church that night, and I we worshiped extra long. I found a lot of announcements that needed to be made. But I as long as I stretched it, it was still time. And so he's sitting there all bright and alert like a kid at his birthday party. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, he looks harmless enough. All right, come on up. So he comes up and he starts speaking. And I sit down over on his side. And I'm listening to him, and it's great. You know, I mean, I'm thinking, what was I worried about? He goes, funny, he's giving his testimony and his pathos in it. You know, and time you weep a little bit, and you salute a couple times, and he's telling you some great verses, and you're laughing and just having a wonderful time. I'm thinking, what was I worried about? This is great. You know, God, you're so good. And then he does the weirdest thing I've ever even heard of. Everything's going good. You know, all of a sudden he stops and he says, well, that's it. He said, you know, the church has been offending the Holy Spirit a long time, and he's quenched, but he's getting over it. And we're going to invite him to come and minister. Now, come, Holy Spirit, and whammo! The Spirit of God comes. And people start fighting. Well, first of all, he says, everybody 25 years and under, come forward. Well, in our church, that's everybody. You know, they're all coming up there. There's hundreds of them up all crowded around the stage. And he says, come, Holy Spirit. And the next thing I know, people are falling and bouncing in there. And they're laying on the floor and they're talking like turkey. And one kid, he falls. And the microphone falls with him. You know, and it's laying right in front of his face. And he's speaking in tongues, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about 2 minutes. I'm talking about 45 minutes he's talking through that microphone. And we're wading through bodies, you know, trying to get over to him. And we can't get the microphone off, and we can't get to him. And Lonnie is going like a banshee. You know, he's running through the crowd and raising his hands. And, you know, and I'm thinking he's pushing people over. He's knocking them down. But he's not even touching them. He's walking by them, and they're going wham, wham, you know, and falling everywhere. And I'm thinking, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, get me out of here. And people are grabbing their Bibles and going, not me. And they're going out the door. Some of them I never have seen. That was 4 years ago, you know, that they went out the door. Well, I want to tell you something. When it finally stopped, man, did I get it, you know. I started, all the staff was upset and uptight. You know, they didn't tell you the half of it. When Sam was mentioning that earlier today, he didn't tell you the whole story. Everybody was pretty uptight. Well, I went home, and I tried to be civil, and you know, I was polite. Well, thank you very much, and for ministering. So I get home, you know, and I try to go to sleep. I can't sleep. I get up, and I go from Genesis to Revelation, you know, and I'm looking for Holy Spirit come, you know. Wham, wham, you know. It's not in the book, man. I'm upset, man. And I, you know, now it's 4:30 in the morning. And I've all over and over. I did find a few verses where people fell down. That helped me a little bit. But I couldn't find anything that was just like that. And so I'm sitting there and I'm saying, oh, God, you got to do something for me. You know, this is terrible what's happened here. You got to do something for me. And suddenly it connected that I remembered reading something in the Journal of Wesley where something like this had happened. And so I went out of my garage and I had a big box of books on revivalists at different times, you know, revival histories as well as revivalists. And I got them out and brought them in the house and I started, and sure enough, Some things like that happened with Whitfield. Some things like that happened with Wesley. I found it in the Cane Ridge Revival. And then I began going back and forth in, through church history. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, I'd found at least 10 different times when this kinds of phenomena had occurred. Not Holy Spirit come wham, but things like that. You know, things where people shook and fell, people fell and this sort of thing. So I was feeling a little bit better. Now it's 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm saying, God, if this is you, I've got to have some assurance. I've got to know, is this you? Is this something you're doing or not? Just then the phone rings. And it's my friend Tommy Stipe from Denver. Now, Tommy wasn't in the habit of calling me all that often in those days, but he would call up every couple months or I would call him. Hey, what's going on, man? You know, what's happening? Did you have a good day at your church? Oh, Tom, let me tell you about it, man. You know, this guy, Lonnie. Oh, Lonnie, I know Lonnie. Yeah, he used to be, oh, yeah, I remember him. Wham, right? Yeah. I said, well, look, man, this is what he did to me. He came in, he talked a little while, and he said, Holy Spirit, come, and people fell down, and people left my church, my staff's mad at me, and I'm not sure what's going on. My wife's happy as anything. She liked it all. And he says, it's the Lord. I said, it's the Lord? He said, yeah, it's the Lord, man. It's just, that's exactly what happened to us in the early days of the Jesus People Revival. The same kind of power, the same kind of manifestation. In fact, as we talked, the Spirit of God began gripping his heart, and he began repenting of some hardness that he had towards just this kind of phenomena because he'd sort of grown away from it and become too sophisticated for it. And so I felt a great deal of assurance because God had given me a witness, a credible witness, that had called someone that had been there, someone that had seen it from the inside out. I'd only heard about it. I'd lived here in the community, but I wasn't aware of the totality of the Jesus People movement until much after the movement had already begun declining. That'll come as news to some of you. But Jesus People movement's over. It's a new day now, and God's doing some new things. And so I recognized in that communication that I was in for an interesting time. Well, over the next few weeks and months, the phenomena continued to occur. Often unrehearsed, often without any kind of leading from us. It would just happen in places. Our young people began roaming the community in packs. We would see them sometimes in parking lots and in front of houses, raising their hands and praying for people, and wham, they would go. And that was in May. By September, we had baptized over 700 new converts. Evangelism was occurring everywhere. Those were the ones we baptized. The best we can figure, there may have been as many as 1,700 new converts in that 3.5-month period. But the ones that we baptized, the ones that came toward us and became involved in the fellowship, was approximately 700. God was on the move. I had never seen evangelism like that. I had never known that there was that kind of power. The problem was I didn't have any grid to sort it with. Nothing I had ever been taught in my educational background helped me to understand Holy Spirit come whammo and how that related to evangelism. How power and power signs and power activities could bring about conversion in the lives of individuals. But as I began dialoguing with people, and keep in mind I do have some training as a sociologist, and so I'm used to measuring phenomena and looking at things from that perspective. And as I began dialoguing with various people that were visiting and that had been ministered to during that period of time, I found there was a commonality that regardless of what the phenomena was, whether they were slain in the Spirit or rested in the Spirit or fell and shook or stood and shook or sat and shook, whether they shook violently or mildly, whether they had an experience that was somewhat catatonic or whether they had some other kind of experience, there was a commonality of acceptance of the experience. No one I ever talked to that had an experience was sorry. They all uniformly responded with, it was wonderful. I feel closer to God as a result of it. I love the Lord more as a result of it. I'm reading the Bible more now. I'm praying more now. I'm sharing more now. I'm more involved in the church and I'm more in love with the Lord than I've ever been as a result of that experience. Now, I don't know how those experiences bring that kind of result. All I know is reporting from the reverse out, that's what they all said. And so I have difficulty at this point in my life of resisting that kind of phenomena when I see the results in the lives of the individuals.
The Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit teaches, and then the Holy Spirit transforms us. And so, application today. Like, what do I do with this information? How do I engage in that? How do I learn to listen to the Holy Spirit? And what I want to offer to you is this, is, and it's, a lot of it is based on my experience, but getting in a community of people where you can test this out, where this is a safe place to do that, right? And one of the ways to do that is to join and hang out with our life groups. You hear Rebecca announce about life groups. For me, that was an amazing experience to sort of mess up and engage the Holy Spirit and try to figure things out, because I was around wonderful, safe people, and it was a safe place to me go, hey, is this the Holy Spirit? I'm sensing this. I'm hearing this. And you have people around you to go, you know what? Me too. Or they're like, no, I don't know. Like, that might be the pizza you ate last night. I don't know. But it's a safe place for you to engage in what the Spirit is doing. So being in a life circle where you are engaging and figuring out what the Spirit is, and you're learning together, and you're all being taught by the Spirit, or even our circle communities where they're even smaller, right? Just groups of four that are getting together. Being in a community where people are seeing what the Spirit is doing on the inside and the outside, right, of what's going on with you. And so I want to invite you into stepping into communities that will explore how it is that the Spirit moves and teaches and engages. And as you do that, and you practice that, you're going to start to tune in to what the Spirit does and how the Spirit communicates to you. And it's really unique. I know I've shared many times that for me, it's like a movie download half the time. You know, if you hang out with Rebecca at all, you'll get a song lyric from like the 80s that God uses to communicate with her. I know other people, like the Spirit engages through journaling. There's lots of different ways. You are uniquely wired. And the Spirit knows that. And the Spirit's going to use your uniqueness to communicate with you if we pay attention to it. And the best way to do that is in community. Is in community. Why don't we stand? We also want to explore what the Spirit wants to do today in this room. And so I'm going to invite the worship band up again. And we're going to spend some time just worshiping. And what I'd like to do for you, if you're sitting there going, hey, I've never maybe experienced engaging the Holy Spirit. You're like, you might have grown up in church all your life. Maybe you haven't. Maybe this is all new to you. But there's an openness, or there's at least an intrigue in you where you're like, I wonder what that would be like. I wonder what that would be like. What I would love for you to do today, we have a prayer team that'll be over to my left, your right in the back, and we have a prayer room over here. We would love to just pray for you, just real simply. Just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and see what the Holy Spirit has to teach today. So if that's you during worship, I would encourage you just to head in the back. Like, I want to experience the Holy Spirit today. I want to experience the Holy Spirit as a teacher, as someone who wants to engage me. And then, like always, if I believe the Holy Spirit, some of us are, you know, we're in tune with the Holy Spirit. We get it. We're engaging. And as the Holy Spirit reveals things today, I just want to invite you to share those so we can engage as a community. If it's a word or a picture for our community, I want to invite you to do that. And the way that we do that here is when we do it publicly, we just want to check with Rebecca and I first, but before you come up and share with the group. Okay, so we just want to invite you to do that as well. And then if there's anything else that's heavy on your heart today, that you're just like, I just really could use prayer today. I've got something going on in my life that is beyond my fixing, beyond my understanding. It's really painful. You need healing of something. Like, I want to encourage you to get prayer today. Okay? All right, let's worship and pray. You got some? Okay. Rebecca's going to come and share some.
Someone had maybe a left shoulder injury or some kind of pain, and it might not be the left shoulder, but that was just what I was sensing. And then early on when I got here, I just really felt like the Lord, there was a lot of imagery about, I felt like the Lord said a lot of people are sort of being held captive in darkness, and a sense of Him wanting to, you know, He lives in us and, like, bring His light to those places of darkness. And I wasn't quite sure what they were, and it could be different for different people. Sometimes the darkness is just something we can't manage. It's just something that's got a kind of a grip on us. It might be like a form of depression or anxiety or something like that. It can also be an area of habitual sin sometimes, that or addiction that we get stuck in. And that's just an area the enemy's trying to keep us captive, and sometimes it's too powerful for us to overcome, and we need the Holy Spirit to do something supernatural. And my picture was like Him lighting up that space, whatever that space is. And so we would just love to come alongside of you and invite the Holy Spirit into that space. So if any of those words speak to you, or if there's any other areas that you need healing for, please come back and get prayer.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.